And we're back broadcasting from the Marion County Fair. You know what? I got so scintillated into a conversation that was happening here during the break that we could possibly have on the air that I cannot go back into it. But anyway, we are live at the Marion County Fair. It is Independence Day. Pastor Craig, Sean Kraft, and myself here for another solid hour tonight. And all these broadcasts are brought to you by Study His Word Radio with Pastor Craig. Study His Word Radio can be heard live or taped. Live tonight. Absolutely. On WGH Radio, WWGH1071.com, and selecting the archive page. You can also hear the podcast, Study His Words. This is horrible. This is the worst reading I've ever had. Anyway, Study His Word Radio's weekly podcast at studyhiswordradio.org, all one word. Enjoy the fair. You know, I've been here too long. That's what's happened.
Yes.
It's been a day. So, Pastor Craig, I think what it is, I'm too excited because I know we're about to get into the conversation with the question that Sean asked before we went to break, and I'm interested how this all breaks down as an observer. So I'm just going to sit here for this one, and I'm going to let Sean ask the question because it may need to be asked again for any new audience members who have tuned in the last 15 minutes. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Scott. I'll take it away. So, Pastor, why did they take Under God out of schools?
Well, when you say Under God, you're referring to the phrase in the Pledge of Allegiance that says one nation under God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really aware that it has been taken out of schools. I'm not really aware that they edited part of the Pledge of Allegiance. I do know that a lot of schools don't do the Pledge of Allegiance at all anymore in the school. When I went to school, every single morning, said the Pledge of Allegiance, and we actually, the teacher recited the Lord's Prayer. Well, that has long been gone prayer out of the school. I believe some of the schools probably have taken the Pledge of Allegiance out of the schools. But it's I don't believe it was just targeted for that phrase under God. I believe it's more of a overall trend that a lot of the patriotic things that have been done in schools have been taken out.
Gotcha. Do you think that we are becoming too soft as a country, in your opinion?
Well, I'm not really sure what you mean, but I will say this. Yes, I think in general, as we have progressed, technology has progressed, the country has progressed, I believe that as a whole, we have become soft as people. For instance, if you look at the living conditions that the people had 200 years ago, you know, at the time of our independence, how they had to work for a living, how they had to struggle for a living, their living conditions, they didn't have air conditioning, things like that. I think if you compare those people 200 years ago to Americans today, I would say yes, we have become soft.
How did you mean soft?
Well, like people, I mean, think about it. Okay, let's, for example, is we're going to use Cleveland Indians for example. Now, the Chief Wahoo has been around for many and many and many and many years. But all of a sudden, now they want to take it out because of the Indian on the sign, whatever. Why take away something when it's not broken?
Well, I'd like to say, first of all, Scott, I wish you would have told me when you invited me to be a part of this that Terry was going to throw controversial subjects at us that are not related to the fair.
I know. It's very interesting, isn't it, how that all breaks down. But I'll tell you what's fascinating about that, and I don't know the reason, I don't have the answer to the question that you asked, but I will say this, that it's interesting because earlier we had the conversation about language, and because of getting things right is why we don't call people Indians anymore, because that term came about because that's what Columbus called those people when he got off the boat because he thought he was in the West Indies. So that was completely incorrect, and we were mislabeling them all. So the fact that we're still using the term Indian shows that we are not saying the right thing. We're completely mislocated. So then we went to Native American, and people were okay with that for a while. But then people said, well, there were Vikings here prior to Native Americans, so how can they be the Native Americans? We don't really know who was here first. So now we're at indigenous people, which probably is the most concise way to describe that group of people that we have ever had. But now people are angry about that. So really it seems that people just don't like change. We don't want things to get more specific and more erudite. It seems like we don't want change.
And as our current society is today, we have so much leisure and free time that we can get wrapped up in these unimportant things.
Like, who cares what the name of the team is?
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't understand that one.
Right. Who cares?
I do, because it's been around for a long time, and if you have the Chief Wahoo on the thing that says Cleveland Indians on it, why change something that it's not broken?
So tonight, if you had to always be aware of when you went home tonight that at any time a grizzly bear could pop out of the woods and eat you for his dinner, would you be worrying about the Cleveland Indians then?
Yeah, I mean, because it's a team's a team. It doesn't matter if somebody's coming after you or a bear's going to eat you or whatever. I mean, I just don't understand why they had to fix it, or why they had to change the name. This doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but I guess the question is where is the groundswell against it?
You mean like when people got soft?
No, I'm saying I don't know that people did get soft. I think that's your opinion. But I think obviously there were a lot of people's opinions that said we should change the name of this team. And clearly they were the people who could change the name of the team. So if you own a team and you have the power to change it, and you do, what's the problem with that? Would you want somebody telling you how to run your show?
I'm just saying that there's a reason behind it why they had to change it after all these years.
See, now this is something quite interesting. It has nothing to do with that. But what you said there is where I think society has taken a schism. And this is a July 4th topic, because this is a societal question. Why do we believe there is something behind everything? We have become such a paranoid society. Sometimes people just do things because they want to do it. They're not doing it on purpose. They're not trying to create why would you want to create controversy? That doesn't help you in any way. You're doing it because you want to do it and you have the power to do it. You know, it used to be conspiracies. We had the Kennedy assassination. Did men really walk on the moon? Martin Luther King's Jr.'s assassination. But now it's everything. Anytime something happens, there's got to be something behind it. Why does there have to be something behind it? You know, not always is there something behind everything.
Well, I disagree. There's always something behind something. There's always a question why. There's always a why.
Well, yeah, but why does it have to be a convoluted thing? Why can't it just be the people who own the team wanted to change the name?
But they didn't until controversy came down and say, hey, we're going to do this to you if you don't change the name.
Now, who did that? I did not see that.
It was all over the news.
What were they going to do?
They went to the owners and say, we want you to change this because of this.
But who did that?
The people were against it.
Right, but they don't own the team. So if there were more people who didn't want it changed, why did they do it?
Well, they didn't want to know. They didn't want to be in the spotlight.
Well, but doesn't it hurt them on the opposite side if people go, well, now, wait a second, we want that. We want to see that.
I don't know. I just know, obviously, the owners of Cleveland Indians, I don't know why they didn't want to stand up and say, hey, you know, we're not going to change it. But they didn't. They went on the other people's side.
So now let me say this. Let's say somebody said, you got to change this. You got to change the color of this table. Okay, say the fair came in here and said, you cannot have blue tablecloth. Now, do you change it just because you don't want to argue with the fair? Do you sit and argue with the fair because you like the blue tablecloth so much? Or do you just not really care about the tablecloth? Doesn't matter to you. It's a table. It just needs to be covered. Doesn't matter if it's a blue tablecloth or not.
I would argue with the with the fairgrounds and say, hey.
Most people, I think, would say they own the fairground, they own the Coliseum. All I need is something to cover the table. Blue is not that important to me. Let's just change the tablecloth.
I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's here and there, you know. But to me, I just think there's too many people. See, the problem is there's too many Chiefs not enough Indians in this world today. That's why everybody.
Well, there's no Indians in this world because they're not the Indians anymore.
No, it's just like, you know, word of speaking.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the thing you got to look at, whatever the reasoning was, whether it was pressure to do it, whatever, the owners changed the name of the team. Have they suffered drastic drops in their revenues because it's not what people wanted and people said so, that's not what they wanted, by their wallet? Has it seriously affected their bottom line?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have to call them up and ask them.
I think if it has, they do something about it.
Let's see what happens, I guess. I guess they haven't, you know, the name hasn't been changed too long. So we'll have to see.
If in the first season they saw big drop-offs, I think they would have done something.
Yeah, we'll see. But I know I boycott them now. I'm selling all my Cleveland Indians stuff.
So, out with the past.
Yeah.
So how does that hurt them?
I mean, it doesn't hurt them, man, because they're a multi-million-dollar company. But, you know.
If the majority of their fans felt the way you felt, then it would hurt them. That's the kind of the bottom line is their bottom line. And, you know, if a majority of people felt that it was that important, they would boycott it, they would sell their stuff, get rid of it, not follow them. And that would send a message loud and clear to the ownership. But I think in the overall scheme of things, that hasn't happened.
Right. That's true.
You know, here's what I'll say, and I do want to say this, because we're looking at this Woody Hayes cutout across the way. And Woody Hayes was fired. I don't think people realize that. Longest coach, I believe, in Ohio State football history was fired for punching a player on national television. Now, in that day, when people said, well, why was Woody Hayes fired? Oh, he was fired for punching the player. I don't think people said, oh, no, wait a second. There's got to be some more behind it than that. But that's what we would do now. We'd say, oh, now, wait a second. There's got to be something behind that. They didn't just fire him because he punched the player. But back then, that was enough. You punch the player, cause, effect. Was Woody Hayes the most popular? Think about this. Woody Hayes has a complex name for him on the Ohio State campus. He's got a street name for him at Ohio State. He's got a historical marker on Ohio State's campus. After he was fired by the university, he was brought back to speak at commencement before the I, and he's one of the very few people who was ever made to dot the I as a private citizen. But yet, they fired him. They said, you are relieved of your duties. Go home. Matter of fact, they fired him before he got off the plane. They didn't even wait for him to come back. So, did they hate the man? Clearly not. Was there some salacious intent behind that? No. Did it hurt them financially? I'm sure it did when Earl Bruce, an unknown sub-coach to Woody Hayes, had to scramble to get him in there for the next season. But they just felt, hey, that's not acceptable for you to hit a player on national television. And I think the owners of the Cleveland Guardians came to a point where they said, you know what? It's just not okay anymore because there never were Indians. That was a mistake. We never used that term. It's a derogatory term in a lot of ways. And we should have never done that. And I think it's a very similar situation.
And there does not appear to have really been a significant backlash.
And you know what? Not many people came to Woody Hayes' defense either because they saw what he did on national television.
Yeah, I don't remember very much of as far as him people coming to his defense.
No, but I'll tell you, at his funeral, President Nixon spoke, and people were filled. They didn't hate it. Based upon his actions, Woody Hayes's.
And you know, one other thing about that, Scott, is it really was a one-time thing. In other words, he hadn't previously been in trouble for similar things, or he wasn't known for having, you know, that type of personality that would lead to that. Compare and contrast that to Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight had a history of, you know, I guess you could say violent acts, really. And so, you know, both people, you know, were fired eventually, but one you have a history of it, and one you have a one-time incident.
And certainly, firing Bobby Knight did hurt the finances of Indiana, but eventually they got to a point where they could not tolerate anymore. So is there ever a point where you just, this is wrong, and just because it's been that way forever doesn't mean we're going to continue that way?
At a certain point, yeah, I think so. But, you know, what snapped in Woody Hayes to do that? You know, something caused him to snap. So, but, you know, he deserves what he got.
Well, a lot of people didn't like that firing. A lot of people didn't like Bobby Knight's firing. But
it has not hurt his firing for Woody Hayes. It did not hurt his image, his legacy, how people feel about him, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later. I think Bobby Knight did suffer as far as his image and some of those things. But, you know, in Woody Hayes' case, it didn't hurt him one bit.
I guess the summation of this conversation really is, what is not always popular.
Right. Right.
True.
And sometimes you have to... Do you think that I mean, all these people who have been fired because of things that they've done, and they were number one in their field, number one coach, number one in the ratings on television, number one this, number one that. Well, you know, at some point, if you do something, you got to pay the price.
Yeah, what's the old slogan they say, or what they say is, you have to pay the piper.
So there you go. Now, interestingly enough, on this 4th of July, I was watching a show earlier on today, 1776, and it's interesting to me that the people who were fighting for the right of this country, fighting to become independent of England, at Great Britain at that time, knew they were making history. If you read their diaries, they knew that it was historic. They knew it. They weren't just out on a whim. I wonder if people understand that, but maybe the bigger point to ask is, they also wondered if people would understand the sacrifices that they made for this country 200, 300 years later. Well, here we are, over 200 years later, and I wonder that. Do we understand at all what this day is about? Do we understand the sacrifices those people made? I don't know.
I don't think we do. I don't think we fully understand the sacrifices that they made. I mean, that was a big task. That was a big task to say you were going to be independent from Great Britain. You got to remember, the British Empire at one time, you know, there was a saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire. I mean, the British Empire literally was around the globe. Great Britain had colonies in every part of the world, many African countries today were British colonies. Many, you know, so it was just all around the world. So they really were taking on a big task. And I think it's easy for us to not recognize how big their task was and how great their sacrifice was.
What do you think? Do you think people understand the sacrifices that people made 250 years ago?
I really don't. I really don't think they do. I think if you study it, I think they do. But people, this generation, I don't think they do. All they care is about this, you know, yeah, the fireworks is fine, but do you know the meaning behind the fireworks? I don't think they do. I think if you ask somebody off the street, they have no idea unless they look it up.
Well, I got to tell you, because this is radio, there are people in front of fans hanging on the walls here. There are people sweating buckets as they walk up and down these aisles, coming in from outside. There are people I saw earlier collapsed in stairwells over here, just exhausted from the heat at the Marion County Fair. If you go outside, it is warm.
Yes. So if you go outside, Stay well hydrated.
Do want to remind everybody that WGH Talk Radio's broadcasts from the Marion County Fair are being sponsored by Study His Word Radio with Pastor Craig. Study His Word Radio can be heard by going to WWGH1071.com and selecting the archive page. Also, you can hear Study His Word Radio's weekly podcast at studyhiswordradio.org. All one word, studyhiswordradio.org. Have fun at the fair. Well, that time I got it right.
All right. So, Scott, are you going to hold me up in front of the fan, or do you want me to hold you up in front of the fan?
Well, during the break there, and I don't know if you saw this, Sean, because I think you were over breaking things across the way earlier. But during the break, and this literally happened. Now, that's a word time you could use, literally.
Literally.
This literally happened. There's a big fan, maybe 20, 30 feet from us here. Big fans hanging on the wall. Big, big old fans like they would use in airport hangars. And there was a guy, and he had his infant child, and he was holding the child up in front of the fan to cool it off. Now, I don't know about the parenting rules. I don't have any kids. But if I were a parent, I don't know that I would, if the infant son or daughter, I wasn't that close, was overwhelmed by heat. I don't know that I would walk the child over in front of a fan and hold the baby in front of the fan to cool them off.
I think I would go home probably.
Maybe go out to the air-conditioned car, maybe go home, maybe get an ice pack, not hold them up in front of the fan. Now, Pastor Craig, you've had children. What do you think?
Yes, I have had children. I now have grandchildren. And
you want to bring them here and hold them in front of the fan? There might be a line.
If I will answer the question in this manner. If that was my son holding my grandchild in front of the fan, I simply would have tapped him on the shoulder and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?"
Now, it was a bonehead move.
Yeah.
And now, we hate to say that.
Right, but I'm...
But I, man, I've seen some things in my life, but that really was right up there. That was, that wasn't one I would have pulled out of my playbook.
No.
So you're trying to say that's icing on the cake?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to see. We're not even halfway through this fair yet. We're only,
this is only day two.
Day two of five. Right. Now, I do want to let people know we've got guests coming as the week goes on, and we're all going to be here. Sean will be back with us Thursday night. And Friday night, Matt Morgan will be with us Friday night. Pastor Craig's going to be with us through the whole duration of the fair. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And Emily, I think, is supposed to join us Friday night as well. And I know there's a big guest coming on Thursday that I'm not going to announce, because you never know, they could fall through. But listen Thursday.
Even I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's a big, big, big deal. And you want to listen Thursday morning, too. We got something special Thursday morning that I'm not going to talk about till Thursday morning. But you're going to want to listen Thursday morning from 8:50. Clock. That's going to be something very serious and not fair related. So pay attention to that. Now, as we sit here, you know, it's interesting that this is the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, because this is really a military project.
It really is. And it, you know, interesting that it's, you know, Veterans Memorial. Obviously, it's a memorial to veterans. And unfortunately, you don't really see anything in the Coliseum to remind you that it's that, but hey, it is the Veterans Memorial.
You know, interestingly enough, it seats 5,000 people. I cannot remember the last time that there was a concert here or anything of that nature. There used to be. Pro Wrestling used to come here and sell this out from Detroit. There used to be performers who would come here who would sell this out. They used to have the Tough Man competition here that would come pretty close to selling this out. I don't know why this building is not used anymore.
That's a good question, Scott. I mean, the size of the city of Marion, you would think there would be ample events here.
5,000, well, this used to be the place if you were going to go. The Palace seats 1,400. So if you were not a theater show or you were a performer that was going to draw more than 1,400 people, you came here. Because this place is equipped with a stage, it's equipped with a sound system, and it seats 5,000 people. Can Marion no longer draw more than 1,400 people to a show?
That's a good question. That really is a good question.
Because my question would be, you know, you're charging $50 a ticket at the Palace. Now, you could drop that ticket price down to $15 because you're tripling your seating capacity
exactly.
by coming here.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
But would people just not come?
That's a good question. You know, when you use the example, you know, $50 a seat for 1,400 seating capacity, that is a price that will keep a lot of people away. So if you had a bigger venue and dropped the price, how many more people would you get?
And there's really not a bad seat in here.
No.
I mean, I've sat as high as you can go and as far as you can go in here, and going on the floor, you can still see it pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, there are no bad seats. There really aren't.
I wish that there was something that could sell this place out on a monthly basis that used to. I mean, people really did used to come here. The wrestling was the big one. Pro wrestling did used to come here from Detroit. Detroit was pumped in this area, part of the territory business, and probably through the early 1980s, when Bobo Brazil came here to wrestle, this place was sold out, 5,000 people strong.
I remember Bobo Brazil.
Coco Butt. Yeah. The old Coco Butt. You know, there are people in this town who still have Bobo Brazil's autograph. You want to come over here? Be on the radio for a second? Come on over. Okay. Want to come over? No. Okay. Well, we definitely... Okay. I think she wanted to, but her companion there gave her the get away from those people.
Yes. Well, it was... You know, for those of you who can't see what's going on, this was a young lady. She had on a
sash.
And she was a princess of something here at the fair. She obviously won the honor of being a princess in some event. So, you know, Scott just asked her, hey, you want to come here, be on the air? You know, we could find out what she had to do to get to be a princess. And she was being accompanied by what I would assume is her little brother, younger brother, and she, like Scott said, she hesitated. She kind of wanted to, and he said, "No, don't."
Now, was he her press agent? Was he just a short press agent? I don't know who that was.
Security guard, press agent, who knows?
You know, what'd you make of that?
It was something else, that's for sure.
Now, when you are in representation of something here at the fair, and you're walking around with a sash and a crown on your head, shouldn't you be open to the media?
You should. And you should expect people wanting to talk to you. As a matter of fact, in that position that you have, you should want people to have an interest in you and talking to you.
So do we just give those parties away, those titles away willy-nilly at this point?
Makes you wonder.
You know, I don't know. I wasn't a part of the judging. You know, the view here is just something. You know, thank goodness this is radio at this particular point.
It's like no shirt, no shirt, no service.
Well, there'd be no service at this point. quite a spectacle here at the Marion County Fair right now. You know, I think the weather, I think it's fried everybody's brain at this point.
Yeah.
It's Independence Day. How was the parking today?
I will honestly say the parking today was better than yesterday.
It was.
Now, I do have one thing. Holy cow.
Well, what is that over there? Can you explain what you just saw there?
No, I can't explain.
My goodness. Thank goodness. Huh?
I missed the beginning.
You didn't? There it is.
Somehow, parts of the American flag have been turned into clothing, rather strange clothing, but the colors of the American flag go on to the face, go into the hair. When I say colors, I mean plural. And I guess all you can say is you can't get any more patriotic than that.
It looked like the American flag blew up.
And somebody was standing too close when it blew up.
It got all over them.
Yes.
You know, now that's an interesting question for the 4th of July, because this is the day we do that. I have a shirt on with flags on it and fireworks. Now, do people go too far?
I think in most cases, no. But I qualify that by saying in most cases, no.
You don't see it over there now, Sean? Look at over to your left.
Wow. You want me to bring her over here?
No.
For what? You got to propose? Yeah, that was fascinating. I don't think we need her press agent to turn her away.
And it's interesting how quickly you can go from talking about the parking situation to...
Well, caught your attention there, I could tell.
Attendees at the fair, totally distracting you. All I wanted to say was about the parking. Yes, they seemed a lot more organized today. However, you know, Scott, you know that where, that main entrance, and they've got, when you come in, and they've got a big concrete block that says, no exit, use the north exit. So it's supposed to be an entrance only. And when I was coming in, it was after the harness racing, and even though it was an entrance only, all of the horse trailers from the harness racing were attempting to go out.
Oh, some favoritism.
Yes, so there was some blockage getting in. Certain people were shown favoritism, but once that passed, the rest of the parking situation was better than yesterday.
Well, so if you had a horse, you could get out the front gate.
Yes, you could.
What do you make of that?
You know, I'm just glad they paved the parking lot this time. It was horrible coming in. Did you notice that?
Well, yes, but I parked in the grass yesterday, and I parked in the grass today. So, is what it is.
Yeah, and Thursday is really supposed to be the only bad weather day that I've seen in the forecast. So, you know, the fair should be good. Tomorrow is going to be a sweltering day here, kind of like today. Now, we will be on the air tomorrow. I'm going to give you the exact time tomorrow morning during the morning show. Thursday, we will be on from 4 until 8 again. And on Friday, we'll be on 6 to 10. And that now, Thursday's supposed to cool off. Supposed to get a pretty good rainstorm. So I think we'll have a lot of people in the college. Not that we don't have a lot of people in here right now. You know, really.
We've had good traffic. Right?
A lot of people coming through this Coliseum here tonight. Now, I don't know if it's to come in so they don't collapse from heat exhaustion or what it is, but we've seen a lot of traffic in here.
Yeah, I've been surprised, actually. It's markedly up from yesterday.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, and I'm pleasantly surprised.
Now, tomorrow, I believe, is the kids' day here at the fair. Up until noon, you can get in free if you're 12 and under. And then I believe Friday is Veterans Day. Until noon, if you're a veteran, you can get in for free. And I believe there is a veteran's breakfast on Friday here in the Coliseum. I think it's very important, Vets Memorial, the fair, honors the veterans on Friday.
Absolutely, and I think that's great that they do, and they're doing something special, absolutely.
And, you know, it's a very interesting thing, because here we are on the 4th of July, and tonight people will be watching the fireworks. And by the way, be safe whatever you're doing out there tonight, you know, whether, because now you can light off fireworks no matter who you are. So, I don't understand that rule, but whatever.
Yeah,
how did we get there? Yeah, now there's a controversial topic that we should have got into on 4th of July.
Yeah, and, you know, how did we get there? And we're not even really there. We're only kind of there because, okay, fireworks are now legal to buy in Ohio and to set off in Ohio. Oh, but wait a minute. No, you can only set them off on certain days throughout the course of the year. Now, honestly, does anybody think that if you're going to make fireworks legal in Ohio, that people are going to adhere to only on certain days? I mean,
people have been firing them off for the last week.
Right.
And nobody does anything.
Right.
You know, do you think it's good that people are allowed to fire off their own fireworks now?
No, I think they need to be, like, trained first. Because I don't want my house to be burned down.
You know, that is an interesting thing. What if somebody shot a firework into somebody's property?
You know, I would think that you would technically be liable for any damage you did, but how are you going to prove where it came from and whose fireworks it was and that type of thing?
You know, where have we come in society? This is an interesting thing because we've talked about all the other things that we've changed over time, but this is something really directly related to the 4th of July. Why?
Where we've become in society is really, for a large part, entitled. What I'm allowed to do, 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 and lots of times, you know, what are the consequences of that are not taken into consideration?
Consequences do not exist in society, certainly like they used to.
Correct.
And I'm not really sure why that is. I don't know where consequences went out the window. Certain people have consequences. Certain people do not. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, definitely is.
Now, here we are, red, white, and blue decked out Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Very patriotic. Does anybody know how we got to red, white, and blue?
No.
That's an interesting thing. I don't know how we got to red, white, and blue either.
I don't know how we got it.
No, but it's just part of our lives.
I don't know if anybody knows how we got it. I mean, yes, if you looked into it, did your research, we could find out. I mean, Google would tell us.
Now, this is just something that's...
we like seeing cars crash, especially when you like seeing cars crash when you know that nobody's going to get hurt.
You know, also, what you don't see is bumper cars at fairs anymore. What happened to the bumper cars?
People were getting hurt.
Really? Oh, Nick things.
Yes.
Well, that's a football thing, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
What do they call that, CTE?
I think so,
yeah. Some kind of brain injury.
Right.
But, you know, football's got a lot of money behind it. You know, as we're in the last 7 minutes of our broadcast, what do you think, you know, what does America mean to you on the whole?
It means we're free.
Like, cheap? Like a bargain?
We have freedom. We have freedom. Ever since, because of today, we're free.
Who is your American hero?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. That's a good question. I have so many of them.
Well, I asked it.
I don't know. I'm probably going to have to say, yeah, and you ain't going to like this, but I'm going to have to say Donald Trump.
So, when I'm saying American hero, the name that comes to your mind is Donald Trump.
I do like it.
Listen, if Donald Trump's your American hero, that's okay, but I was thinking somebody who maybe was no longer with us, maybe somebody who went to their reward, somebody who has helped this country along in a patriot, you know, help forming of this country, maybe, something like that.
Oh, you want somebody that is dead?
Well, sure. Why not? Who's your favorite dead patriotic leader? Why not? Maybe I asked the question wrong. Maybe I should have said, who's your favorite dead patriotic hero?
It's going to be a female. I'm going to have to say probably Betty White. Betty White, she was a very smart woman, and I watched her all her shows and all her documentaries, and she's a very smart lady.
You know, I heard when they were putting together Mount Rushmore that Betty White was a contender to go up there, but she just didn't get the votes.
That's a shame.
It's a shame. Well, maybe they can blow Lincoln's face off there and put Betty White up there, and then we'll all be, you know, really in the form of compliance with America. Pastor?
Yes.
What's America mean to you?
I guess...
Besides Betty White, we've covered the Betty White section.
I guess I didn't realize we were limited to time frames, but as far as, you know...
Go deep. Feel free.
What America means to me is it is the one country in world history that proved you really could have a free people, a self-governing people, and it would work. And it really is unique in world history. And as far as, you know, a patriotic hero, I really have two, because I can't really
pick Betty White.
A favorite. Yeah, I was, well, yeah, actually my two, Sean took both of them, no. But it would have to be George Washington, and it would have to be Abe Lincoln, you know. And George Washington and Abe Lincoln lived in different time periods, but I feel really that they are the big ones for this country.
And you're basing that, because that's a good one. I mean, it's not Betty White.
No.
But what's the big thing there? What's the...
You know, the big push for George Washington is really, you know, he was around for the founding of the country, and his contribution to the founding epitomizes what they did. Abe Lincoln, he was in a unique position as an American president, that this country was in severe danger of ending. You know, the American experiment was almost over, and he was able to hold it together.
Now, Lincoln and Washington, how do you feel about them?
Oh, great, great presidents. Matter of fact, they did a lot.
You sticking with Betty White?
Oh, I'm still sticking with Betty White, yeah.
Why change? Now, what I would have to say, yes, as we wrap up the broadcast tonight here, what I would have to say, as far as American heroes, in my opinion, I got to say Ben Franklin. It's always been Ben Franklin. There's no ambiguity in Ben Franklin. Because Ben Franklin was... He was a very big architect in the Declaration of Independence, doesn't get the credit for it, and at his advanced age went overseas and got us representation in France at that point, which was thought to be inconceivable. And going to his gravesite in Philadelphia, and he is just right up the street from Constitutional Hall, will tell you you need to know about Ben Franklin. I think everybody should look at him here. Just if 10 minutes to read who he is, because he is forgotten because he wasn't a president, and that was basically based on age, and that's pretty well it. So, there you go.
But he was given due credit for not being a president when you consider that George Washington is on the $1 bill, Abe Lincoln's on the $5 bill, but Ben Franklin is on the $100 bill.
And what dollar bill is Betty White on?
He's going to be on the $1,000 one.
$1,000 bill. Okay. Well, it's been a time here tonight at the Marion County Fair. I hope everybody's having a wonderful 4th of July, and we're going to end the broadcast tonight. We're at a minute with the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you know the pledge?
Yeah, I know it.
Did Betty White teach it to you?
Absolutely, in her living room.
Yeah. All right, here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And that is how the 4th of July should go. Sean, it's always a good time. You'll be back on Thursday and Friday. Pastor Craig, you'll be back tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. And a whole lot more fun here at the Marion County Fair. And all this brought to you by Study His Word Radio with Pastor Craig. And you can catch that all at WWGH1071.com archive page, or go to studyhisradio.org for the weekly podcast. Hope everybody has a wonderful 4th of July. For Pastor Craig, Sean Kraft, this is Scott Spears saying have a happy Independence Day, heading for the...
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.